want you to take your Bible and open to our next Old Testament book. Somebody says, what is it? Well, let's turn to Genesis chapter 1, please. I know what you're thinking. How long are you going to be in that book? I don't know. I have no idea. But we're going to start and go on. You know what I mean? This is the direction I felt the Lord leading. And so this is what we're going to be starting tonight. Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1. Let me remind you about these financial freedom flyers that we have available for you to pass out. And also, I hope you'll mark your calendar for our next Truth Teen Rally. That's on February the 18th. That's not this coming Saturday, but the next Saturday. And we hope all of you will be here for that. I believe that starts at 5 o'clock. Am I right by saying that? 5 o'clock, yes. So I encourage you to put that on your calendar and plan to be here with us. Genesis chapter 1, I'm preaching on chapters 1 through chapter 2. So I'm going to read the whole chapter as well. I'm just kidding with you tonight. Okay, just going to read the opening verse of the book. It's where we find our title, our topic, our theme, and our text tonight. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Again, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And all God's people said, amen. Let me tell you something, folks. I'm getting ahead of myself, but if that's not true, throw your Bible away. That's the truth. If it's not true, everything you've heard's a lie. Just pack up and go home. Worms just going to eat your body some of these days, and it's going to be over with death. And I'm glad that statement is true tonight. And tonight I want to lift out the opening three words, in the beginning. And we'll begin this message, but we'll not get through it. And somebody said, glory to God, he's not going to preach on two chapters tonight, I hope, you know. Simple, simple message tonight. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. Help us, I pray. May thy will be done. We thank you that in the beginning you really did create the heaven and the earth. We give you the glory tonight. Pray that you forgive our sins. Help us to be clean. Deal with us thoroughly, Jesus, I pray, in your precious name. Amen. And today we begin a new study in the Word of God on the opening book of the Bible. This book of Genesis is known as the Book of Beginnings. It's in this book that we see the beginning of many things. For instance, you see the beginning of life. You see the beginning of death. You see the beginning of sin, of family, of childbirth, of marriage. On and on and on. An outline of the book would be major point number one, a primeval history of the human race. In chapters 1 through 11 and chapters 12 to 50, we see a patriarchal history of the Hebrew race. That's important to state that all the Bible and all of what you've heard about Christ and all of faith stands or falls on this book. In other words, if Genesis is not true, then nothing else in the Bible can be trusted. However, if the book of Genesis is true, then everything else in the Bible can be trusted. We can go further by saying that if the opening statement of this book is not true, the rest of the Bible can be discarded. However, we know that the Word of God is true tonight, and it can be trusted. Now, it's with this opening statement that we take our first title for our opening message in this glorious book, the three words, in the beginning. Now, as we consider this statement, I'm going to be noticing several things that we see in the beginning of God's Word, and these same three things are still true today. Now, I'm only going to get to two of them, maybe not all the way through both, but we're going to try our best. Number one. In the beginning, the first thing that we see here and still true today, number one, we see God's presence. Now we see this in opening verse. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now the first thing we notice in the beginning was God's presence was there. In other words, when it all began, God was already there. Chew on that a little while, folks. Chew on it. Think about it. If you can explain that, tell me about it. I'd like to meet you if you could get to the bottom of that statement right there. That in the beginning of what? Everything. What happened? God was there. That's amazing. I mean, don't just let that just go in and out your ear. I'm telling you, this is an amazing thought. And even though the world tries to reason this away, we need to understand that there never was a time when God was not present. He has always been and always will be God Almighty. I'm telling you, I can't explain it, but I believe it. You say, how do you know it? Because I'm standing on the promises of God's Word. I'm telling you tonight that the Bible states that God was there when the worlds were spoken into existence. Now, the Bible plainly teaches in Genesis 21:33, and Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba and called there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. Deuteronomy 33:27, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Psalm 90, verse 2, before the mountains were brought forth, wherever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Psalm 93, verse 2, thy throne is established of old. Thou art from everlasting. Isaiah 9, 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 40, verse 28, hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. Micah 5, verse 2, but thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. Habakkuk 1, 12, art thou not from everlasting, O Lord my God, mine Holy One. Can I say something to you here? It is interesting that the Word of God never tries to prove that God exists. Never tries to prove it. It only states that He exists. And I'm telling you something, it declares and announces that God is, always has been, is now, and always will be. I'm telling you, I'm glad my God is an everlasting God. He wasn't created. He made everything. I don't understand it. Don't try to figure it out. Just rejoice in it if He's your Father. Because if He's your Father, there never was a time He wasn't, never a time He is not, and never a time He will not be. He is everlasting to everlasting. He is God. And the Bible says if somebody denies that, somebody, for instance, there are people who believe in evolution, all these kind of things. Can I tell you something? It takes more faith to believe in evolution than it does creation. Because somebody says, where'd you come from? From somewhere. Where'd you start? Well, there were some molecules out there that just decided that they wanted to come together and have a party. And when they come together and have a party, there was a big bang. And when that big bang happened, here I am! Are you listening to me? That's ridiculous. May I say something to you? The creation cries out that there is a creator out there somewhere. You tell me that you take your watch off, here it is, and somebody says, how did this come into being? Well, I'll tell you what happened. All these little things just decided to come together, and they were having a party in there. And I mean, it's just so in sync. I mean, it just so happened to be. No, you know what this watch tells you? Somebody made it. Somebody put this thing together. And I'm telling you that the Bible simply says in Psalm 14, verse number 1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The Bible says if you say there's no God, you are a fool. I'm telling you, I'm glad one thing I don't have a problem with is knowing that God is real. I'm glad He's real tonight, aren't you? By the way, if He's not real, what are we doing here? You might as well just go home. I'm telling you, God is real. In the beginning, when it all began, what do we see? We see God's presence. That's what we see. He was there. Number two, we see God's power. Now, I'm not going to get beyond this. Number one, I haven't typed any further beyond this, but anyway, I wasn't going to get beyond it anyway. God's presence. Number two, we see God's power. This is the story of the creation in the first chapter of Genesis. Now, I'm not going to read it. I'm going to read some sporadically here. But as you see the first chapter, we see that the opening phrase again says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. You know what that word created basically means? He made it out of nothing. My friends, are you listening? That's power. That is power.
The word created means God made it. That's what it means. This denies atheism and it denies evolution. By the way, it denies theistic evolution too. As somebody says that God started it, then he sat back and just let it evolve. Hogwash. Hogwash. I'm telling you, God made this whole thing. He spoke it into existence, and we see his mighty power. In chapter 1, verses 3 to 5, the first day he created light. In chapter 1, verses 6 to 8, the second day he created the firmament and the heavens. In chapter 1, verses 9 to 13, the third day he created the earth and the sea and the green things. In chapter 1, verses 14 to 19, the fourth day he created the sun and the moon and the stars and time. In chapter 1, verses 20 to 23, the fifth day he created the fish and the fowl. In chapter 1, verses 24 to 31, the sixth day he created animals and man. Now I want to take the power of God in creating the heaven and the earth, and there's several thoughts that come to my mind. And I want to drive these thoughts home. Thought number one under this, God's power, thought number one under it. Creation proves that God exists. Now I've already said this, but I want you to hold your place here. Turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm 19. Hold your place here and turn to Psalm 19. We're going to read Psalm 19, verses 1 to 6 here. Now, I want you to see this. I'm telling you that you are not playing a game. This is not wasting your time. We serve a living God. He's alive today. You go to Thailand, they're worshiping Buddha. You go to Thailand and see all these horrific idols in the airport. I'm talking about massive idols. You go to India, they're worshiping cows and everything else. And I'm telling you that every religion's God is dead, but not ours. Ours is alive and doing well. I was reading this week in my devotion. I'm just giving you time to find Psalms. I was reading this week in my devotions in the book of 1 Samuel, how when the Philistines took the Ark of God and put it in the same room with their false god Dagon. And the Bible says when they came in the next day, Dagon had fallen on his face. So they set him back up. The next day, the Lord cut his head off, and the only thing standing there was the stump. You know the thought that came to my mind? God doesn't need me. He doesn't need you either. He's a living God. Think about it. What's his name? God. So what's he need? He doesn't need me. But he wants to use me. Isn't that a powerful thought? We're looking that, number one, under God's power, creation proves that God exists. Look at Psalm 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. I'll tell you one thing, when you go overseas, I'm telling you, it's frustrating. When you go around and nobody hardly speaks English. I'm talking about when you get on the airplane and English is maybe the second or third language that they use. You know what I mean? They get on there and blah, 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 all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, what in the world? You know, good night. But the Bible says that the heavens, the creation, there is no speech or language that can't understand them. They speak a universal language. Verse number 4, their line has gone out through all the earth, their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit under the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. You say, Jody, what's the point? Here's the point. The creation proves God is there. And may I tell you that the Bible says no matter where you go in the world, the sun's there. No matter where you're at. And he's teaching that one reason he put the sun in the heavens is to speak to people. And he's speaking loudly saying, this did not just happen. I created it. Creation proves that God exists. Now, here's something. It has been proven by scientists. We don't need scientists to prove anything. But it's been proven even by scientists that living matter, something that's alive, living, can only come from a source of life. Did you hear what I just said? In other words, something dead cannot create something alive. If it's alive, it had to come from a source of life. Now you say, what's that prove? It proves this, John 1:3-4. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. We know that God himself, Jesus Christ, he is life. He said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And everything living was created from him who is life himself. The theory of evolution is a direct denial of God's existence. And it makes no room for the fall of man. Let me tell you one reason why evolution is dangerous, because it teaches that man is getting better, not getting worse. And if man's getting better, friends, we've got problems. Ask some of the police officers in this church. Is man getting better or are they getting worse? I'm telling you one thing, what evolution does, it makes no room for the fall of man, and therefore it makes no room for a need for Jesus Christ. We need God. Dr. M.R. DeHaan said this, to suppose that this great creation with its almost infinite diversity of planets, plants, animals, laws, and manifestations from the tiny atom to the gigantic sun is the result of blind forces without an infinite personal intelligence guiding its courses is folly and madness to the infinite degree. And I say glory, amen, you're exactly right. Darwin himself said this in volume 1, page 210 of My Life and Letters. Here's what Darwin said, and I quote, not one change of species into another is on record. We cannot prove that a single species has been changed. And they won't prove it either, because evolution is a lie of the devil. And I'm going to tell you something that, now listen to me just a minute. Just let me get on my soapbox here a little bit. Somebody pray for me. I don't say something I shouldn't say here. But isn't it ridiculous that in our public schools they encourage evolution but they discourage creation? You may tell you what that is? That is a direct fulfillment of prophecy, my friends. They don't want God. They don't want Jesus. And I'm telling you one thing, somebody comes up to me and says, I don't believe in God. Don't believe in him. I'm going to say, there's a verse in the Bible for you, sir. Read it yourself, Psalm 14:1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And you say, how do you know God exists? The Bible tells me so. I don't believe that. Well, I'll tell you another way I know he exists. He's changed my life. He spoke to me today, and I spoke to him, and he heard me. You can't disprove something like that, friends. I'm telling you that creation proves that God exists. Dr. Bill Rice went to Africa to work with some missionaries for a season. He went far into the jungle, and they went to work with a tribe of pygmies who had never seen a white man in their life. At last, after spending some time there, he began to tell them of God, who loved them and who sent his son to die to forgive and save them so they could be happy and blessed hereafter in heaven. Now, can you imagine going back into the jungle to a tribe of pygmies? They've never seen a white man, and he begins to share with them about God and his son. And as a result of this, there was a little tiny man. I know what you're thinking, but he was a little tiny man. He was named Taurasi. That was his name. And he said this to Dr. Bill Rice, and I quote, he said, I thought it must be something like that. He said, many times I've climbed the highest tree and have looked far into the sky trying to see God. Said, I felt sure he must be up there someplace. And again, I have called, God, are you there? Can you hear me? Do you see little old Taurasi? He said, God, I'm afraid. Come and help Taurasi. But I would never, but I never could hear him answer me a word. He said, I thought God surely must have some way of helping poor old Taurasi. I'm glad to hear of Jesus.
and to know that he died for me, I thought it must be something like that. Friends, if that don't break your heart, something's wrong. Here's a man. What did God use to deal with that man? You know what he used? Creation. He climbed the tree and said, I looked for him. I knew that God had to be out there somewhere. How did he know that? Because the heavens were speaking to him. Man, that's exciting to me. And Tarasi saying, God, can you hear me? Can you help poor old little Tarasi? So God sent a preacher and told him and said, God loves you and Jesus died for you. Can't you just see that little man coming up and saying, I knew it had to be something like that. That's powerful. And I'm telling you that creation proves that God exists. By the way, if it proves that God exists, what's the problem? Why do so many people try to refute it? Why do so many people try to get angry and mad even and say, it doesn't exist, you can't tell me that. Why is that? You know the Bible gives the answer to that question? Flip over to Romans chapter 1 with me just a moment. Romans chapter 1, verse number 18. Why is it that when you look around and see the trees and the sun and the stars and the clouds and the moon and you look in the mirror and see yourself and you see all the beautiful creation, I'm talking about all the different species and our thumbprints, not a one of them's the same, not a one. You tell me evolution caused that? Come on, friends. I'm telling you that you take a flower, look at all the beautiful flowers. They are crying out. They're saying, God made me, God made me, God made me. Why is it that so many people don't believe it when it's so obvious? Is it not obvious that the creation calls out that there's a creator? Sure, it's obvious. It's common sense. It's the only logical thing. Then why do so many people refute it? Romans 1:18, look at it. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has showed it to them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because, now notice, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that God is proving to the world that he exists. And the way he does it is through the creation. And then it's saying they are without excuse. But then verse number 21 tells us why they refute it. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. You want me to tell you why they don't believe God exists? Because they don't want to believe God exists. The Bible says that God is bombarding their mind around the world that he exists. He exists. He exists. He exists. He exists. And if he exists, that means there's a judgment day coming. If he exists, that means there is only one way to heaven. If he exists, that means heaven and hell is real. And yet the Bible says that he's telling the world through the creation, I am here, I am here, I am here, I am here. But the Bible says their heart is so hardened and so darkened that when they knew it was God, they acted like it wasn't. They know in their heart God exists. But they say, I don't want to believe it. Shut it out of my mind. It is not true, because if it is, then we've been telling them the truth. And they may have to repent and receive Christ as their Savior. Somebody says, Jody, there's people blinded. You're right. They are blinded. But many times they put the blindfold on themselves is what I'm trying to say. Number one, under God's power, creation proves that God exists. Number two, this might be as far as we get.
God's power in the creation proves that His Word is powerful. You say, what do you mean? Notice in the creation account, flip back to Genesis chapter 1 with me. Genesis chapter 1. Notice in the creation account how it's brought out that God simply spoke the creation into being. Look at chapter 1, verse 3. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Look at verse number 6. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the sea. And look at verse number 9. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. Look at verse 11. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit of it after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. Look at verse number 14. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. Let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. Look at verse number 20. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. Look at verse number 24. And God said, let the earth bring forth a living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, beasts of the earth after his kind. And it was so. In all of this, we see that when God speaks, it is a powerful thing. In the same way, you say, Jody, how can you explain that? I mean, it says, God said it, and it was so. God said it, it was so. God said it, it was so. God said it, it was so. And I maintain with you today that God is still speaking. He's still speaking. And He primarily speaks through the pages of His blessed Word. And I'm telling you that we need to understand when we open the blessed book of God that the powerful voice of God is speaking to us. He is speaking to me, and He's speaking to you. This is why we need to read our Bible every day, because we need God's power, and His power comes from Him. And one way He shares it is through His voice. He spoke the worlds into existence. And He wants to speak to you today. And He wants to speak to me. He spoke to me this morning. He speaks primarily through His Word. Have you ever been convicted in a message? You ever been convicted when the Word of God is preached? You say, what is that? That's the powerful preacher and his preaching style. And I'm telling you, he's just the greatest thing since sliced bread. We know that's not true, right? It has nothing to do with the preacher. And the preacher needs to be clean. He needs to be right with God. But it's not the preacher's personality. It's not the preacher's demeanor and the preacher's preaching style. It's the powerful Word of God. How is it that the dear old man could stand up and preach sinners in the hands of an angry God? And they say he never lifted his voice. They say that he read his manuscript just like this, monotone, and people would literally be grabbing the pews under conviction, feeling that the floor is going to open up under them and they were going to drop in hell. Was it his preaching style? He was monotone. He was just reading and just monotone all the way through it, but he was giving the Word of God. And when God speaks, it is powerful. This is why around Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, we are not perfect. We are far from it. But every Sunday school class, every preaching service, every ministry, everything we do is centered around the Word of God. Because it's God's Word that has God's power. It's not changing music. It's not this. It's not the world standards. It's not entertainment. It is the Word of God that people need. And we give the Word of God faithfully. And God is speaking through His Word. And if God can say, let there be light, and there was light, don't you think He can speak to your heart and help you through things and break people's hearts and convict people and draw them to Himself? I'm telling you, when we went overseas and went to Thailand, went to India and preached the Word of God, that's what drew people to Jesus. It wasn't us. Some of the most simple messages you've ever heard in your life. I'm talking about with the translator, back and forth. Took me 30 minutes max, I guess, to preach a whole sermon. Things like God loves you, John 3:16. For God so loved the world, blah, 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 all this kind of stuff. That He gave His only begotten Son, blah, 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 all this kind of stuff. And then they said, hey, if you want to receive Jesus, stand to your feet. And here they stood and come to the altar by groves. Hundreds and hundreds of people coming and trusting Christ. What did it with this man out at John Sevier? Was it Brother Steve's teaching ability? No, it was the Word of God. God's Word is powerful. We see this in the creation, that when God speaks, there's power behind it. Hebrews 11:3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Psalm 29:4, the voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. We're looking at this together. What are we looking at? We're looking at in the beginning. There's three things that we see. We've got to two and only half of that. Number one, we've noticed God's presence. When the beginning happened, God was already there. Number two, God's power. He spoke the worlds into existence. He created it all out of nothing. And that being the case, we've learned just tonight, we'll pick up with point three later, but just tonight we've learned that God's creation proves that God exists. And we've learned that His Word is powerful. Now, we're only started. And I tell you, I'm just thrilled tonight that I know God. And more importantly, that He knows me. Let it sink into your heart. The God who had no beginning. He is independent of everything and everybody. He is life. He cannot die anymore. He is life and the source of it. And the Bible said, Jesus said, I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And because of that, if He knows you, you're going to live with God forever in heaven. That's enough, hopefully, to carry you through at least till Wednesday night. Amen. And may the Lord add His blessing to it. Let's pray together. Father, we love You tonight. Thank You for Your goodness to us. We thank You that in the beginning You were there. And thank You that in the beginning Your power was so evident. And I pray You help us to do business with You. May the will of God be done, I pray, in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. As soon as they get prepared here, they're going to begin to play through softly. Maybe God is dealing with you tonight. Maybe you're like, was his name Tarasi or whatever his name was? Maybe you've been needing something to prove to you that God exists, and God's speaking to your heart tonight saying, is my creation not enough? Is the sun hanging up in outer space on nothing? Is that not enough to prove to you that there has to be a creator there? Maybe God is dealing with your heart. If you don't know him as your Savior, why don't you come and let us take a Bible and share with you how you can know Jesus? What a wonderful day in somebody's life when they get saved. That day could be today for you. Or maybe tonight God's speaking to you because there's something in your life that you need his power on. And maybe he's speaking to you saying, you know, if I spoke the worlds into existence like I did, don't you think I can help you? I don't know what God's doing, but we need to do business with him. Oh, if you ever start to doubt, have you ever doubted, by the way? When you ever start to doubt, if it's daytime, look up. The sun's up there. If it's nighttime, look up. The moon's up there. The stars up there. The clouds are there. Look at the trees when you drive home. Look at the pretty flowers in the springtime. Look at the snowflakes that fall, and they say that not one snowflake is identical to another one. You say, what is all of this, Jody? I'll tell you what it is. It is the God of the universe proving to us that He really is there. And I'm so glad He is, aren't you? Let's all stand together, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's going to begin to sing. Father, take it, bless it, help people to respond. Whatever it is, help them to come and talk to you about it, realizing that you have the power to help them. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Maybe you want to come and talk to God. Come on, come on, do it now. Would you do it? As He sings, come on. Maybe you have a problem you need God's power with. Come on, talk to God about it. Maybe you've been coming to this church, but you're not a member of this church, but you feel like God wants you to join this church. Won't you come, let us talk to you about it. You say, Jody, I need help. Come, let us talk to God about it. Talk to the Lord. Number is that, Brother Gary?
97.
If you're standing, I'd like you to take your hymnal, page 97. Folks are praying. Want to give them time? Let's sing this second verse together and ask the Lord to help us. Hard to know how to draw the net on a message like this. I'm just throwing it out and saying, if God's spoken to you, you come. May the Lord help us with it. Let's sing that second verse together, shall we?
I need thee every hour, say thou near.
Praying. I want them to take their time. I'm going to call the church in the business just a moment. We've got three missionary items. We'll just present them all at one time, Brother Wade, if you don't mind.